Oops. Good morning. Couple of announcements. I'm watching you. That's one. They're all gone. Where'd I put them? Fruitcake. Johnny Carson said there was one fruitcake in the world, and we just keep passing it around. So, see, that's why it's heavy like a rock. That's how old it is. Anyway, Kathy's Christmas entertainment is lovely today and in the bulletin. Christmas Eve service. Reservations can be made after worship with Kathy back there. If you would like to make a reservation, I do believe we still have slots left. The other announcement is church office will be closed next week, the week after Christmas. Dennis will be the preacher next week, and because I'm going home to Colorado to terrorize my family. It's just one of the perks. So while I'm out of the office in Colorado, if you have a pastoral need, you may call Dennis or Cindy Huckfelt, and they will get you taken care of. Are there any other announcements? Belle.
We made a wreath for a wreath contest at work, and I have a very beautiful wreath in my van. If you have anyone who could be cheered by a wreath, please let me know, and I will let you take it to them, or if you tell me where they live, I will take it.
All right. So, did y'all hear that? Belle has a wreath. She won. She'd like to give away to brighten someone's day. All right, if that is all of the announcements, then let's begin with the prelude. Arlen. Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For the yoke that was weighing upon them and the burden upon their shoulders, lift up your eyes and look around. The dawn from on high is breaking upon us.
Our eyes shine, our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us all.
Our opening hymn is Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the Realms of Glory. Most gracious God, we come here this morning filled with anticipation. Christmas is finally here. We are busy with last-minute preparations, but for this hour, we turn from that busyness to come into your presence and hear again the story of Jesus' birth. Give us, O God, the radical faithfulness of Mary and the merciful righteousness of Joseph, so that our words and actions during this holy season be colored by both their examples. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose birth we are about to celebrate, hear us as we pray that prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we know that God's love has always been with us.
God's love has made known to us in a new way, through the birth of the Christ child.
God has become one of us, the word that breathes the Spirit into us, and in Christ we know the fullness of God's love.
We are called to share that love with the world.
We light this fourth candle for the love God has for the whole world. Please join us in singing the fourth verse of One Candle Is Lit.
Thank you. And before we get to special music, for those of you who have not met her, this is Lisa Walker, our bookkeeper. And so, oh, yay, Lisa! So, thank you for being here, Lisa. And now we have special music with Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. As we come now to our time of prayer, I would call your attention to the prayer concerns listed on the back of the bulletin. Monica Decker is scheduled to have surgery in Douglas on Tuesday to release some ligaments in her forearm so that her hand, her fingers will be released to make her more comfortable. Jean Johnson would like your prayers as she continues radiation therapy for cancer. She says she's doing the best she can to keep moving forward every day. And she is in good spirits. Connor Goodman is at the penitentiary in Torrington where there is a COVID outbreak. And so please keep him and his family in your prayers. And as you have heard, Ed Struby died this last week. He will be buried tomorrow in Lusk. He will be buried tomorrow in Lusk, so please remember his family. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Yeah.
We got a call from two teachers at CY Junior High this last week asking for material for their honors students to make blankets for us. In making those blankets, they asked if they could do two.
Yes, Debbie. Okay. Sandwiches will be made on Saturday morning instead of Friday. Let's join together in prayer. O God of steadfast love, of unending mercies to us that are new every morning. You gave us this garden, earth, and unequaled gifts of the sun, the rainbow, and the breath of life. You parted the Red Sea and sent manna and prophets. You gave us children, and you gave us one another. And so this day, we ask that you would accept our longing of joy and hope for the promise of yet one more gift, our Messiah, the Christ, your child. We wait with Elizabeth, who was once barren and advanced in years, and with Mary, surprised by Gabriel's announcement. We wait full of hope in the face of hatred and war, knowing there is no hurt deep enough, no disaster shattering enough, knowing there is no Herod strong enough to stop this promise of the babe, the child of Mary. For someone will see the star, someone will hear the angel voices, and someone will run to Bethlehem. Someone will know peace and goodwill, and Christ will be born. Accept our prayers for healing in this time of increased loneliness. Even as we wait and hope for the coming of your child, we miss absent friends and loved ones. Come, long-expected Christ child, whose first miraculous newborn cries fill our hearts again with hope and with peace, with joy, and with love. O come, Emmanuel, come. Amen.
Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. Come when you are fearful, to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all.
Okay, so sorry.
It's hard to hire good help these days. Let's sing the song that's on the overhead, please.
Before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he gave thanks. That was afterwards. Then they went out to the Mount of Olives and sung a hymn. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Every time you do this, remember me." And then after supper, he took a cup, he gave it to them, and he said, "This is the new covenant, which is for all of you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. God of life and keeper of our souls, we come around this table to give thanks for this bread that represents to us the broken body of Jesus, and this cup which reminds us once again of his blood that was shed for us. As we remember him, make your presence felt keenly so that our moments of rededication may reflect your will for our living. Amen. There once was a congregation that added so many members that they began to run out of parking, which of course is a good thing. A warehouse adjacent to their sanctuary had plenty of unused parking spaces on Sunday mornings. So the manager of the warehouse was approached and asked permission to park there. He was happy to oblige, adding that they could do so for 51 Sundays a year, but not 52. The church must pick one Sunday to not park on his property. Why 51 and not 52, they asked. What difference will it make since the warehouse is vacant on Sundays? He responded, I want you to always remember whose property it is. My friends, we do well to always remember whose property we have and to whom we owe allegiance and awe. Let us bring our gifts before God this day because we are thankful for God's blessings in our lives. The diaconate will collect our offerings. Lord, we are grateful for the many blessings you offer and provide us 52 weeks a year. Receive these tithes as a sign of our commitment to your mission of hope. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. Does everybody have a handout? You're going to need it. Yes, I see you. Sermon's a little different this morning. You are required to sing along if you'd like. We're going to sing through O Come and Come Emmanuel. The verses, we're going to sing a verse, there'll be a scripture reading, and then a reflection for the sermon this morning. And so if I can get my stuff together here, we will begin. Arlen, thank you.
From Isaiah 40. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The Lord does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Waiting. Advent is about waiting. Jim Strathy is a Christian songwriter, and he has said, "What you do while you wait depends on what you're waiting for." During Advent, we try and sharpen our senses to catch signs of our Lord's coming. The description of Advent by Frederick Buechner in the December Call talks about just that: waiting to catch the scent of love arriving on the winter winds, waiting for the moment when we are able to still ourselves just enough to discover love beating in our own hearts. And yes, then we can hear the whole world holding its breath as his coming draws near. We wait with gladness for the inbreaking of heaven here among us now. But waiting this year has been hard, and it has been too much. What you do while you wait depends on what you're waiting for is true. We've been waiting for COVID to end. We've been waiting at home, some of us alone, away from those we love, unable to hug and touch, unable to simply be near those who love us, who strengthen us, those on whom we depend and who depend on us for acceptance and courage and a listening presence. Our circles of family and friends and neighbors and communities of faith. COVID has forced us apart, and we have been waiting for return. Not necessarily return to the way things were, but return to the presence of those we love and care for. This is wearisome waiting. This waiting makes our hearts weary and moves into the deepest places of our souls. Loneliness is soul-breaking. And then the phone rings, and dang if it isn't those elders from First Christian Church. I'm calling just to check on you and find out how you're doing. Oh, I'm fine. You don't need to call me, really. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm good. But the call comes again. And the call comes again and again. The call comes because we are not made to be alone. Not the one who receives the call and not the one making the call. We are made to be in community, and in this way, we can be together. In this way, we can wait together. In this way, we all hear the tender words our God speaks to us all. Comfort, comfort my people. Spring come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night. Shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice.
A reading from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as a light to you.
Gloom. Despair. And agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Y'all remember Hee Haw, some of you? I used to watch it with my dad. He loved Buck Owens and Roy Clark, and I admit, as a kid, I did too. Well, I didn't love Buck Owens and Roy Clark, but I love my dad, and I love to watch Hee Haw with him. Gloom, despair, and agony on me has been stuck in my head like bubblegum on the bottom of my shoe. Gloom, you see, I believe is worse than darkness. Gloom is gray and misty, and nothing is clear. Growing up in Seattle, you become familiar with gloom. The airport was regularly socked in on those gloomy days. Airplanes can't take off when the pilots can't see through the gloom. In the second century, Greek physician Arteus of Cappadocia said, quote, lethargics are to be laid in the light and exposed to the rays of sun, for the disease is gloom. It's been difficult to see our way through the grayness of the pandemic. We've been socked in, so to speak. We've been unable to see our way through the gloom, sometimes not knowing which way to go. Do we meet at church? Do we hold in-person meetings, or do we hold them on Zoom? Do we close? How do we keep our people safe? How do we as a community of faith remain connected when we are unable to gather together? How can we keep from singing? It's a lovely hymn, and it's an important question, especially at this time of year. It is a weighty task to be responsible for the health and well-being of a dearly loved people. The leadership of First Christian Church has leaned on and depended on our God, who indeed disperses the gloomy clouds of night as they have made decisions throughout the pandemic. Not everyone has agreed with those decisions. Remember, we are the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and for every 10 of us, there are 10, maybe 12, maybe 14 opinions. However, each decision has been made with the whole of this beloved community of First Christian Church in mind. Here, in this sacred place, as sacred community, we trust in our God who leads us, who takes us by the hand even in the darkest of times, even in the darkest of places, and surrounds us with light. It is our God who takes us all and lays us in the rays of the sun, the brightness of the noonday, which is the light of salvation coming soon again into our world. Wisdom come on high, for all things far and nigh, to us the path of knowledge show. Cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
A reading from Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals."
Verbs. It turns out our English teachers were correct. And so were our foreign language teachers. And so was Schoolhouse Rock. It was important to learn how to conjugate verbs. It's particularly important to pay attention to the conjugation, the when, of verbs in Scripture. In college and graduate school, verbs gave me a terrible time. Greek grammar is still difficult for me. It has too many verb tenses. See? I see you, Paul. Too many verb tenses. But Schoolhouse Rock made English verbs pretty easy. Verbs are the what's happening, the action. So if you tell me when it's happening, now that's the tense. If you tell me when it's happening, that's the tense. Schoolhouse Rock taught me the when of verbs is past, present, future, or was, is, will, and their variations. We need to know that when we read the Bible. That loud voice from the throne in Revelation. Did you catch the when of the verb? The home of God is among mortals. Is. The when is now, present, not past, not future, now. God is at home with us now. Too many times we read this text only at funerals and only to comfort ourselves about how life will be in the future in those days to come in the afterlife. But there is mention of the present, of the now. God is at home with us now. Our question is, what does that mean? God is indeed with us. This is the mystery of the one for whom we wait Emmanuel, which means God with us. But what does it mean to be at home? What does it mean for God to be at home with us? Perhaps it's something like when we say to a friend, "Come on in, make yourself at home." We don't say that to everyone who comes to our homes. We reserve that for dear ones who we know will not judge the condition of our housekeeping, the ones who know their way around our homes, those who don't expect to be waited on, those who will wander through our refrigerators or cabinets, those who will empty our dishwashers or clean up our messiness without being asked because they know we've been through a time of it. And even if they haven't been told yet, they can see it in our eyes or in our posture or even hear it in our breathing. Those who are at home in our homes are the ones who don't expect the bathroom to be cleaned. This is who our God is. This is who our God is now. God is at home with us. God is at home with you now. Just as God is making all things new now. Even as God is making you new now.
Reading from Isaiah 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Peace. The peaceable kingdom. John August Swanson is an American painter. He paints with watercolor, oil, acrylic, and occasionally mixed media. His art can be called folk art, which reflects his Mexican and Swedish heritage. His paintings are rich with vibrant color, and they all tell a story. The first piece of his that I saw and longed for, but could never afford, was a limited edition serigraph titled The Peaceable Kingdom. It was gorgeous, and it was a beautiful imagining of Isaiah 11. It was full of all sorts of animals, a lion, ox, lamb, tiger, turtle, horse, monkeys, snakes, raccoons, a leopard, wolf, owls, rabbits, goats, a peacock, all grazing among the grass and the flowers and the mountains together under the night sky filled with stars and a full moon. And in the center of the painting, near the ox and the tiger, a child stood barefoot with a smile, holding a candle. It is a lovely imagining of a peaceful world where envy, strife, and quarrels have ceased among all of creation. Many painters and Christian interpreters like to think of this child leading the way of peace as Jesus. What I've never noticed in this painting until yesterday was this. Only if you look very closely can you find other children in the painting. There are five other children. The five other children all have candles, and they are all walking through this peaceful world, lighting the way as they go, carrying the light as they move through this precious landscape of peace. And you know, peace is the way of the one for whom we wait. Peace in God's kingdom is more than just the absence of violence or war. Peace is wholeness and completeness and well-being and harmony. Shalom in the Hebrew Bible is about relationships of order and equity. Yes, between humans and other humans, but also between humans and God. Creation itself was an act of divine completeness. When God rests on the seventh day, the world is whole and the world is complete. The world is at peace. A world at peace with children lighting the way forward. Perhaps this is a new vision of the world God is calling us to. A world where we love our neighbor, we love our enemy, we overcome evil with good, a world that is free from dissension and division, anxiety and worry. Can we imagine living in a world like that? Well, the pandemic sure has made it difficult. But the scientists and healthcare workers around the world have given us a new hope with the release of vaccines. We aren't there yet, but there is light that is beginning to shine. What you do while you wait depends on what you're waiting for. Isaiah has started the vision of that peaceable kingdom for us. The baby of Bethlehem will soon be among us, and that baby will soon be in the temple to announce that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And that baby, that precious little baby boy, will soon teach us to love in new ways so that we are able to move that vision on. Beloved of God, love itself is on the way. O come, Emmanuel. Amen. Let us pray. O come, desire behind our greatest needs, come and show us the direction to Bethlehem. Lead us to the place where love is to be born again in our lives. Give us signs along the road as we make our journey, that we may follow again in your ways. O come, Emmanuel, come. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you. again, if you'd like to sign up with for Christmas Eve, Kathy has a clipboard right back there. Also, there will be a recorded Christmas Eve service up on the website on Christmas Eve day. So if you're not able to be here with us on Christmas Eve, the band's getting back together at 5:30. There will be a service on the website. And if I don't see you before Christmas, have a lovely Christmas. Enjoy your holiday. You all are beloved, very much beloved. I hope you remember that. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, be with you all as you go forth in peace to watch and wait for the coming of salvation. Amen.